You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Go. Hello and welcome back to the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast. Hope you're all very, very well. Hope you had a lovely New Year's. So yeah, 2024. Hopefully a prosperous and good year for Leicester City. And yeah, got off to a really good start, didn't it, on New Year's Day. A comfortable win. Who did we play again? Honestly, it's going to be this again where I'm forgetting what happened in the games. I do remember it was Huddersfield. It was 4-1, a couple of goals for Tom Cannon, and a nice way to kick off the year. So, as always, thank you for supporting the podcast over the last year. Much more of the same. And, let's go. We've got Jack, we've got Rick, and we've got a return in Jordan. So we've got to come to Jordan first. Jordan, mate, you've taken a little bit of stick from the lads. Obviously not from me. You know, I'm number one fan. The last couple of weeks for some absences. So I've got to ask, how are you, mate? And happy to have you back.
Thanks, mate, and happy new year, everyone. I don't feel like I've actually been away that long, but I think we've played four games in that time.
Yeah, and I've forgotten three of them.
And I
think we played Plymouth quite recently, didn't we? Didn't we? Yeah. And again, I'm not even being remotely kind of facetious or sarcastic. I was sat there the other day thinking, that was quite recent, but I can't remember what the game was or what the score was. Anyway, that was the theme of last week's podcast. So I do apologise. I'm not doing it on purpose. Just genuinely can't remember. But yeah, Jordan, it's been four games in the last, since you've been back on, I think, as you say.
Four games in 10 days, isn't it? So, busy time of year working in football. So I've been manic with work and... My uni project is at the end of February, so hopefully get that done. And I'm a Master of Science, which is ridiculous. But I got stitched up by the tweet. I can't tell you the amount of messages I had saying congrats on the Radio Leicester gig, pal.
Jordan, you know that wasn't me either, despite blaming me for it.
Was it not?
I did not do that.
Rick, was that you?
No. Wasn't me.
Well, it definitely, Jack, that was you.
No, Jay, it was you.
Let's not.
I've been thrown under a bus for this. I was asleep.
I mean, going under the radar, I've actually been on BBC Radio Leicester myself a couple of times recently. I've just not said anything in fear of Jack making another meme about it. But Jordan, mate, genuinely, it's good.
I haven't sent him that meme, actually. I kept that one away from Jordan, but I'm going to send it to him now.
It is
the Christmas party one.
I told Owen about it, and he was very amused by it. He genuinely was.
Not only is Jordan back, but I can spot the little top knots back as well, which I think it is, unless it's a light bulb that I can see. No, it's there. Yeah, there we go. Well, that's pleasing to see, isn't it? I mean, it's lovely.
It's not long enough, mate, and it's at that horrible length that Jake knows that you can't have it down, you can't have it up, so I just wear a hat all the time now.
I think I'm about to chop mine off, by the way, George. I think when we meet for the Millwall game on Saturday, I may be without the flowing locks.
What are you having done?
I think I'm just going to go back to what it was, Rick.
Yeah.
Do number one, Jake. Just
I think you should have a Mavididi. Yeah. Have some cornrows put in.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I have joked that I was only a few weeks away from being able to go. Remember when Vardy had the cornrows for a few
weeks?
Yeah, I was going to go for that. But sadly, I just don't think I can. I'm sure I could pull it off, but I don't think I've got the balls to actually do it. But yeah, I think I'm going to chop.
I reckon
you'd look good in anything, mate. Even a wig.
You're saying that.
Jake, it won't surprise you, but I've had cornrows for Glastonbury.
I knew one of you would have.
I got sunburn on the top of my head.
One of you two. Didn't you enter some haircut competition, you two?
Yeah, I did.
We both had a lot of hair awards,
yeah. I used to model farmwear clothing for a magazine when I was 8.
I think together with George L'Oreal Colour Awards, your farmwear and my knitting handbook, you know, we've got quite the back catalogue of work. Jack, have you done anything?
No, I haven't at all, actually.
Like the Milky Bar kid. Everyone I speak to who's fair haired tells a story about how they were nearly the Milky Bar kid.
And everyone I've met that's ginger came third, to be Ron Weasley in Harry Potter.
Exactly. It's one of the two, isn't it? Milky Bar kid.
The amount of people... I'm still reeling from Rick being, modelling farm.
Can I add a bit of a caveat to that? I only did it because it was my dad's mate who. So it was through my dad's mate. So I didn't get picked by some bloody Farmers Weekly or anything that spotted me in a gilet when I was cutting about Hinkley. No, sadly, it was through my dad's mate. So, and I think I only did it once. So, yeah.
I mean, the obvious question is do pictures exist that we can share?
There might be some, but you know, you can't take that one away from me. I remember we were at some big country house with a thatched roof. It was the first time I'd ever seen a thatched roof. Right, always stay with me.
Please do find a picture because
I'll see what I can do.
I would generally love to share that. And do you know what? And Rick, as a kind of a just being in the being fair and honest, I'll actually put right now in the group because I found it the other week the front cover of the Men's Knitting Manual for Beginner's Guide. And I've just put that in the group so you can see that. Which was sold out, by the way, on Amazon. So, you know, if
you're amazing.
You're one of the many that owns Men's Knitting Manual for Beginners with me on the front cover. I mean, if you buy it, there's many more pictures like that of me posing in various things like a vintage car wearing.
Do you know what annoys me about that, Jake?
What's that?
Were you wearing denim? You could be like you could be wearing like a woolen jumper or something on the front of a knitwear magazine. No. We'll put him in denim.
But believe it or not, I had no control over what I wore, and frankly, I'm sure you can believe me when I say I really didn't want to do it any part of that day. But if you look on the front cover, it says obviously, Men's Knitting Manual for Beginner's Guide. And then Nathan Taylor, a.k.a. Sockmatician. Yeah.
It don't get any better than that, mate. You've said hopefully...
That was the peak of my modelling career.
Well, it is. And saying a prosperous 2024, I mean, where do you go from there? You're only going down.
Yeah.
It says, guys knit the instruction manual.
Anyway, I think
I'm going to order it. I'm keen. Well, New Year's resolutions and all that. New hobby.
I was going to do like a Secret Santa and buy a load of copies and give everyone a copy as a joke, but it sold out.
So, really?
Yeah. So someone else has had the same idea. Sockmatician probably bought all,
all five copies have been sold. Yeah,
exactly, probably. Anyway, look, this is a ridiculous sidetrack on the podcast.
Isn't it, which isn't it nice to have all four of us back?
It is.
Jordan, I'm going to stay with you, mate, because as I said, we haven't had enough of your voice on this pod over the last month or so. You are notoriously optimistic about everything Leicester City related. We'll always be fine. We'll always walk it. And you did confidently predict before the Christmas period that we'd win all of them and we'd build up a little bit of a gap. I think I'm right in saying, and you've been proven correct. It's been a very, very good Christmas period, not just for us, but you know, Ipswich, I think, haven't now won in five. So it's been very good indeed.
Yeah, I think I joked that we'd be promoted by New Year's Day. We're what, we 10 points clear? We might as well be. I think I worked out yesterday. It's not going to happen, but by the time we go to Elland Road, we could have 89 points, I think. It's right. We'd obviously have to win every game, but I didn't expect Ipswich to fall away quite so dramatically. I thought they would fall away, but not over the Christmas period. I mean, they shouldn't have got a point against us, really. That was the most... I can't remember us conceding a more fluky or ridiculous goal. And I thought we probably deserved to hang on and get a clean sheet there. But yeah, four games. Bit surprised that we didn't make more changes across the games, to be honest. Obviously, yesterday we made three, but what more can you say? Fantastic performances from the lads, especially at home. Three against Rotherham, four yesterday. I've said for a while that we're going to give someone a paste in. I really think five and six is coming soon. When the sun comes back out, when the pitch is nice. Not that they're not these days anyway, but I think we're going to get that. And it seems to me, I've felt like it for a while, that we kind of get in front in games and it's almost like an energy conserving practice. Like, keep the ball as much as possible, especially over Christmas when you've got so many games. You know, there's no need to expend any more energy than you need to. And obviously, a bit further back at Wednesday, we conceded late, and at Ipswich we conceded late, and people start to whinge and panic. But look, that's going to happen across the course of the season, even when you top the league. So can't complain. There's absolutely nothing to moan about. The only thing that can derail us is the lads going off to AFCON. But Cannon's come in yesterday and looked like a proper striker. I think Wilf's missing AFCON now, so whether we see him or not, you know, we might do. And Abdul's staying as well, so... happy days. Rest everyone at Millwall and get to Cov. And that's actually a big game, Cov away, because like you said, Jake, it's getting a bit boring and forgetting who we're playing and just getting it done, ticking them off.
I think that's just my shite memory, to be honest. But I mean, it is quite funny, isn't it, at the moment, you know, that particularly at home, the opening 45 minutes, you know, they seem to take the same kind of course, don't they? It's a little bit tough going. You know, not a lot is happening, and all the goals are then coming in the second half. And sometimes you think, oh, just, you know, what's the point in even playing this first half? Let's just play that second 45 minutes and be done with it. But, you know, it's all part of the process, isn't it? That it is breaking them down. It is tiring them out, and that's why it is happening. And, you know, other than Tom Cannon's goal right at the end of that first half, if we're brutally honest, not a lot happened. You know, I'm not going to say it's a tough watch, because you know it's just, you've got to accept this is part of the process itself. And yeah, you know, the floodgates do open once that first one goes in. And we'll go into kind of the performances and that result in a couple of moments. But Jordan, sounding very lovely on your brand new mic. Rick, hello. I mean, are we now properly working with this new microphone that we thought we had last week?
Yeah, this is the closest thing to professionalism you're ever going to see.
Marvellous.
With me.
How are you feeling about it?
I don't like the sound of my voice through it, but yeah, we'll deal with it. I feel like I'm having to sort of take the edge off it. I've got a, you know, half a swing 9-iron in my hand. Just can't shout like I usually do. But yeah, I'm all good. New year, same me, same cretin. You've been arguing today on Twitter, and I with LCFC.
Are you doing dry January?
No, absolutely not. No points, is there? Not the for answer. Me.
Yeah.
I know what I'm good at. I know what I'm bad at.
Well, yeah, you just touched on it then. You've managed to get a response out of the official Leicester City Twitter account today, which I don't think many people have managed before. Talk us through what's happened.
Well, I mean, I'm a bit of a stickler for things. I get a lot wrong, and I may well be wrong on this, but when I see something that doesn't look right, I call it out, especially when it's to do with Leicester City. So there was a trivia question that was something along the lines of, Tom Cannon's the youngest player to score a brace for Leicester in the league since 2013. Who was it? Okay. So the answer they're saying is Anthony Knockhart. But Chris Wood also scored twice that game, and he's about 3 weeks younger than Knockhart. So they're saying, no, it's not Chris Wood, because Knockhart scored his second goal after Chris Wood scored his. But the thing is, if Chris Wood had scored his two already, he's younger than Knockhart. So Knockhart isn't then. The base of which they've chosen this question is from three quarters of the way through a game against Huddersfield on New Year's Day in 2013. So that's the criteria that's hidden away that we don't know about. But yeah, I've had them about it. They won't concede. They're doubling down on it. So, you know, typical of what's become a Leicester City. No, not really. But yeah, so God knows what the right or wrong answer is. But theoretically, if they want to play that game, Knockhart is the right answer, but it was his brace in October, a few months earlier, where he was obviously younger.
Yeah, but that wasn't in 2013, was it?
Yeah, but the question wasn't... the question wasn't 2013.
It said in 2013. That was in 2012, wasn't it?
Yeah, but what they said was, who... Since no, go and find
since
it. And
since 2013,
yeah, no, that's not how it starts. They've not worded it as in right since 2013. What they've done is, it said Tom Cannon is the youngest goal scorer since so and so, which occurred in 2013. Not since 2013. Who is the youngest goal scorer? That it's completely different grammar in English. It's a completely different slant on the question. They're talking bollocks, and I ain't having it.
Right. Okay. Making more friends, I see. Underway to start the year. I'd ask Jack and Jordan for a ruling, but I think you've decided. Well, haven't you? And there's no change in your mind.
I just wonder whether does the stat start when Knockhart scores his second goal or when the full-time whistle goes?
I'll be honest, it hurt my brain when Rick was talking through the question itself, so I've not even tried.
Do you know what I think's happened, right? They've asked the question thinking they had the answer, and then it's been pointed out to them, and then they've gone, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
But fair play to whoever runs that page, because they're doubling down on it and they've come up with a technicality that, to me, I love that. Like, it's nonsense, but, you know, they're going to die on that hill, and fair play to them, but they're wrong.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Right. So, Jack, hello. How are you?
You all right?
Yes. No,
happy New Year, Jake.
Yes, Happy New Year. It's been a pretty decent Christmas period, hasn't it? You know, the games have come thick and fast. And as George said, I mean, I know we touched on it last week, the lack of changes and even the game against Huddersfield was like, oh, it was a changed team. I mean, not really. It was. I know it kind of looks significant because of the players that they swapped, you know, Cannon, Cassidy and Eunice getting in rare starts. But again, you know, it was pretty much the same kind of group of players, which has, you know, manoeuvred its way so brilliantly through this Christmas period. I do feel like they are due a little bit of a break. And, you know, I did think it was as well the absolute right decision to bring, you know, KDH and I know Ndidi, you know, is kind of a bit of an injury doubt now anyway. But yeah, no, I liked the changes anyway. I thought that it was another brilliant performance, if I'm completely honest. I really did think it was.
Yeah, I thought second half it was very good. It's interesting about the lack of rotation, because I think, like you, I thought they would change it a little bit more. I thought he might. I was a bit nervous about the Cardiff game, actually, because I thought he might make five or six changes. But Jordan Blackwell wrote quite a good piece in the Mercury, because I think he asked him about this. But basically, I think, Jordan, this is what you were getting at, that the fact that we have the ball so much means that we don't work as hard as the opposition. And I went to the Ipswich game. I actually had a different view of the game. But what struck me was we don't actually work that hard on the ball. It's almost like, you remember that Barclays advert about walking football? Yeah. When Vestergaard gets on the ball, it's genuinely like walking football. But what struck me in that game was that off the ball, we worked so hard. Like Winks, Ndidi, KDX, the amount of ground they covered in that game was absolutely phenomenal. And that might be why Ndidi's got injured and he took KDH out yesterday. But, you know, it's worked. And I probably have to eat a little bit of humble pie, because Jordan did say we were going to go and win five games straight. I can't remember after which game. I think it might have been the Sheffield Wednesday game. And we only went and bloody did it, didn't we? So the draw, I think the point against Ipswich was a good point. I would have taken that before. I mean, it's horrendously unlucky at that goal. Cardiff was, I didn't actually see the Cardiff game because I was away, but I've watched the highlights and spoken to a number of people, and it seems very, very straightforward. And then yesterday, I thought the first 35 minutes were absolutely garbage, but then Cannon scores a goal out of nothing, and it was actually quite a good game after that, because Huddersfield had a go, and makes me wonder why sides don't have a go a bit more. But then I guess they had a go a little bit more, and we scored two or three, didn't we? So that's probably why. And, you know, getting out of the King Power with a 2-0 loss is probably a good result for them. Doesn't damage their goal difference too much. So, without being too arrogant about it, but it's been an exceptional Christmas period. And I think it was, you know, there were tough games in there. I think there's a couple of tough games coming up now. Millwall in the Cup away, they'll be up for that. Then you've got Coventry away, and then we've got Ipswich at home. So it's going to be tough, but it's one game a week now, I think, for the next month, which makes a big difference. And I think the players I think Enzo said they've all had 2 days off this week as well. So I think that's good. But they've been phenomenal. I can't actually, you know, I think it's just been genuinely amazing how they've navigated it, because, you know, we've barely put a foot wrong. I mean, if we'd held on at Ipswich, we would have had a 100% record. Just given the miles they did as well, I think that was the other thing Wink said after the Ipswich game. Like, you go from what? Because I went, you know, Ipswich to Leicester is a good 2.5 hours, and then you go the other way to Cardiff, and that's 3 hours, and that's straight after Christmas. So, and a lot of the players live quite a long way away from the training ground, which means they probably didn't get to see their families a lot. And, you know, Ipswich were at home twice, weren't they? Leeds had a game at home. I think Southampton were at home quite a lot as well. So, you know, compared to everyone else, we had not necessarily tougher games. Well, maybe we did have tougher games and a lot of miles to cover. I genuinely think it's sensational what they're doing. I'm enjoying watching us as much as anything over the last few years, really, which is just brilliant.
Yeah, no. Let's go through Jack, and we'll stick with you on then some of the performances, and let's stay positive for now, because I'm sure there'll be a couple of other key points as well, which you can, you know, not necessarily talk about negatives, but other areas. I think the obvious place to start really is Tom Cannon, isn't it? You know he's been kind of waiting in the wings for an opportunity. We're surprised it hadn't come before the weekend. I'd started to kind of really wonder just how much Enzo really kind of, you know, rated him and fancied him as a player, you know, but we'd all said that we liked the look of the little snapshots we'd seen of him. And it was a big opportunity for him to get a start, you know, particularly with, you know, Dakar and Iheanacho either, you know, being injured or off to AFCON. And I thought he did really well. Both goals. And by the way, I'd love to see the replay. I've not seen it back. The one he has ruled out, I thought he was on. I mean, it's certainly tight. But anyway, the two goals that he does score, completely different but brilliant. In their unique ways, you know, the first one, the snapshot, it's, you know, there's such little backlift, which you always talk about with strikers, don't they? You know, it's so hard to predict where they're going. You know, and he absolutely rifles it in out of nothing. The second goal, the you know, playing on the shoulder, pushing the centre half off the ball, and the composure to stick it through the goalkeeper's legs. And I just thought a really important 90 minutes for him. And so pleased he took his chance. I think he's got the tools to be a really, really good striker.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. And you wonder why he hasn't played before, actually. And if I don't want to be negative about it, I mean, you're going to give Enzo some criticism. You wonder if he's picked the right strikers this season based on what we've seen recently. But it looks like he's got a lot about him. I mean, the first goal is just a hell of a strike. Like, it's one of those that doesn't, he sort of hits on the half volley, and it's, you know, it's hit the back of the net before the keeper's moved, which is just a brilliant goal. But I actually thought a lot of the other elements of his game, he came short, linked the play quite well. I mean, he can see naturally he wants to run in behind. When he first came into the team, that was all he was doing, whereas he seems to have adapted a little bit now. And the second goal, I just think it's brilliant bit of strength, very calm finish. Not sure we have another striker who's got the ability to do that, really. I think, I don't want to be too critical of the others, but it's just, it's a goal that, you know, we've not seen sort of one of our strikers muscle his way through to goal, which was really good. And the other thing as well is, you know, to quote Brendan Rodgers, he seems to have a, you know, a lovely bit of, you know, that right side of arrogance yes. about him. Because he's very confident in his interviews. I remember he got interviewed on Radio Leicester and he said, well, like, what do you bring to the team? He said, goals, which is a bit like Michael Owen-esque, because I think he always used to talk about that. I don't know whether he's thrown any apples in bins and stuff like that. but yeah, he seemed a very confident player and backs himself. But yeah, he looks like you say, he's got all the tools definitely to be a really good striker at this level at the very least, you know. Seeing how he operated yesterday, like, makes you think, you know, we've talked about needing another striker if we go up. If he, you know, if he's going to play like that and develop like that, maybe we don't. I'm probably getting carried away. But it was a really exciting performance, and it wasn't his debut, but there's lots to look forward to with him, I think.
Yeah, so Jordan, the striking situation then. So we've got this four, and I know we've spoken about this in the group chat, but it, you know, Jack talks about the fact that maybe he was a little bit late, Enzo, in making them changes and in changing who his preferred two were. Obviously, you know, it was Vardy and Iheanacho, wasn't it? Sharing, and you know, they were genuinely rotating for the first, what, probably 20 games of the season. And now it's Dakar and Cannon, and you know, we've all said that appears to have kind of given us a new lease of life, because it felt a little bit stale between the two. In particular, you know, Cal not really pulling his weight, to be honest. You know, his performance is quite disappointing, and we do now find ourselves in a situation where Cannon and Dakar do look like the obvious two, you know, and I think we can all be in agreement that they should be. Kind of going forward with Vardy playing more of a cheerleader role, you know, with the greatest of respects for it. But I think it's good management, because, you know, I think if you come into the club in the situation what it was, you know, it looked like Dakar was going to leave, and obviously Cannon was very much untried and, you know, inexperienced in comparison and came in late. That Vardy and Iheanacho were the obvious two to kind of try and rotate. And, you know, he obviously gave them a certain period of time and now he's changed it. And I think obviously he's now seen that these two probably are the best two going forward. And yeah, I don't think it's him being indecisive. I don't think it's him being, I don't know. I actually think, you know, because some people maybe have criticised for not doing it a little bit earlier. I think it's really, really good management that he's spotted that and he's brought Daka back into the fold. And then also, so in terms of Cannon, he's waited until maybe he was fully fit to give him a proper game in maybe a game which suited him, which was the Huddersfield one. And I don't know, I know it's easy to say when you win five in a row and you're 10 points clear, but I feel like he's managed the situation really, really well.
Yeah, I think so. And you've also got to factor in that he only plays one up front and he said he's only going to play one up front and that's his system. But when he came into the club, like you say, you are going to pick probably Iheanacho. No disrespect to Vardy because we know what he's done. But as a starter in a 46-game season, probably not doesn't suit him. And you're going to rotate those two because they're, if you like, the two senior strikers. And I think, to be honest, I'd like to think that Enzo knew all along what he was going to do. I know we spoke about before the Cannon signing and whether it was maybe a panic buy. He thought he might need a fourth striker and whether or not he wanted him. But remember, he had that very odd back injury that he picked up when he'd even passed the medical and still somehow passed that with a broken bone in his back or whatever it was. And that took him a while to recover. And then obviously with Daka, I think Daka gave an interview. Full credit to Daka because a lot of strikers, you know, he was linked with Bournemouth on deadline day. I quite like Daka. I've got to be honest. He's a good finisher and he's quick. And one thing defenders can't stand is pace. And that's what you don't have with Iheanacho and particularly maybe Vardy these days as well, has lost a yard of pace. So I always think Daka gets a bit of unfair treatment, to be honest, from our fans. Because when he gets a chance, more often he does put it away. And to Jack's point he's made before, when Daka, I think we look better with Daka, and I think part of the reason for that is, like Jack says, the work rate off the ball is so much better. Vardy and Kel just can't press like he can from the front. And then Cannon, he really reminds me of Charlie Austin. Just his body shape and the way he looks and the way he moves, he just reminds me of Charlie Austin, who's a decent finisher. But yesterday he took his goals so well. You know, it's his first start of the season. Like you say, the first one, snapshot, he hits it so cleanly, it's in. The offside goal, very similar, so clean, too quick for the keeper. I don't know how he didn't realise it was offside. He ran over to us.
Yeah, I know. He was on his own as well, wasn't he? It was like, you know, that's your indication. No one's gone with you, mate.
At the time, I thought it was definitely offside, but when I've watched it back, it looks a lot tighter.
And also, it takes a deflection on the way through. I mean, as I said, I've genuinely not watched the replay, but I'm not far from being sat kind of in line with it. And at the time, I mean, I saw the ref, the Lino flag straight away. But yeah, no, I would like to see it again from a different angle. But yeah.
And like Jack says, that second goal, you know, he bullies the defender off it and maintains his composure. I was thinking he's going to go around the keeper and he just pops it through his legs. And in those three chances, I can't remember him having many more. But he's put them all away. So Cannon to me looks like he, you know, when he came on before, he looked like he had a bit about him, a few like nice little round the corner passes and things like that. And it's the one position on the pitch that I always say you've got to be playing there every week to get a real run in the side and get your confidence up. So full credit to the manager. It looks to me like Kel's time is finally over. Been a very, I'll say, average signing overall.
I'm looking through our list of sound effects here for something suitable, like some kind of
hallelujah. Speaking of sound effects, while you do that, Jake, when you mentioned Charlie Austin, I love a little YouTube clip. Can you remember when he started booting off about the referees?
Yeah, is it Southampton? Give
them all the help they need. Clearly, they need it. Best league in the world.
Well, I've not got anything suitable, sorry.
But yeah, I think Iheanacho will be moved on even in January or at the end of the year. Obviously, Vardy, you know, last year of his contract, whether or not he stays in any capacity or he's still a player next season for us, hopefully Daka and Cannon stay for me and they can learn off one of the best in the business. And I still think we need another striker if we get promoted. But full credit to Enzo. The man knows exactly what he's doing.
Sorry, mate. Sorry, mate. I was playing with the clips. I'm playing with the clips in eye, and then I've absolutely accidentally clicked that one.
That was Who Are You, wasn't it?
No, that was Leicester Fiesta. Yeah.
We've never got that far into Leicester Fiesta. No.
It's just been on repeat for the last half an hour. I haven't stopped it. But anyway, luckily it was on mute until that very moment. Rick, I'm sorry, I've not been talking to you because I'm conscious that you're on Who Are You duty today, and you are finding your clue. So that's the reason you hadn't disappeared for any other reason. Is there anything you want to add to the striker chat? I think Jordy is probably right. And again, I know we've chatted about this in the group that you know, he's obviously someone that's divided opinion, particularly amongst us four, for a long, long time. But, you know, even I'm willing to accept that, you know, I think that the time for Kellen is now gone. And, you know, I've come to peace with, you know, even leaving in January and, you know, and senior man being no more Christmas chopping.
I'm with you now. I think the time is for him to move on. I've been very disappointed with him this season. He's not been horrendous, but he's certainly not stepped up to the plate.
I'm not blaming him at all for this with the Ipswich equaliser, but you know we spoke about that pressing, and I don't think again he came on was a liability, but you could just instantly tell the level of energy that, you know, when Dak had been playing, you know, 75 minutes, and then when Ian actually came on, he's fresh, and he wasn't kind of closing down, and I'm just thinking, you know, you're only doing like 10 minutes. Can you just press for a bit? And you know, I said the goal didn't come in any way from that. But yeah, that was just for me a moment when I thought, you know what, maybe it's time to look elsewhere.
He was absolutely horrendous against Ipswich. I don't know whether he was injured, but he was appalling.
Yeah, I think this last month has been very telling up front for us. I think he last played, didn't he? Against West Brom, he was involved in the winner. Fair play to him, but I was starting to get concerned about our lack of goals. Even though we were, you know, we weren't completely goal shy, but we weren't racking up three goals a game like I would expect a team that was at the top of the league and really strong. But since he's dropped out, Dak has come in, and then now Cannon. The difference is we're winning the ball higher up, which is being set about from a trio of pressers, which is the striker and Dewsbury Hall and Ndidi. Yesterday, obviously, those two were playing. Cannon was there. He can press. Bit different to Dakar, but he's still willing to do it. And I just think we're now in our groove of, like, that attacking play with Mabadidi. Got to be no coincidence with how he's done in December. I just feel like there's the little nuances that have happened since Iheanacho and Vardy have dropped out. It's freed up a lot more in the attacking third for us. I like you, Jake, was a little bit concerned. Did Enzo really fancy Cannon, or was he a signing that was landed on him because it was, you know, an opportunity to get someone in who we've perhaps had on, you know, the scouting radar for a while? And whether he has been a bit slow to use Dakar and Cannon, not sure. But one thing that Enzo can't be criticised for, he can't be criticised, say he hasn't given Iheanacho a chance, he hasn't given Vardy enough football when they've been fit. They've had their opportunity and they've done well for us. We're top of the league and they've won us games, contributed. But I think we can demand more from our striker when you're the best team in the league, and both Dakar and Cannon look like they can do it. And Cannon looks, his finishing looks explosive. He doesn't hesitate on anything, whether that's first-time shots, whether it's taking one touch, turning and running, or laying it off. I was actually more impressed yesterday with, there was one where he swiveled on the ball and he was in space and he ran. He didn't think, oh, shall I run? Shall I, like you see with Dakar, even so. But he just got, no, I'm going for it. And then he laid it off. And you think, wow, that's good. That's somebody who's already reading the game and knows what he wants to do. So early days, he's not going to score a brace every week, but I've got a bit of a feeling he could be. Yeah. He could be you know, we pick them up, don't we? And it'd be nice if he is a proper success for us, because they're not easy to find. But yeah, really impressed with him, and hopefully he gets a run of games. Well, he will get a run of games, won't he? Because Dakar's gone.
Yeah, no, I think he's got a good football IQ. If I know it's a little bit of a kind of wishy washy football statement, but I don't know, I think there's something about him, but because that's the criticism I've kind of often throw at Daka, isn't it? Not having that IQ and that kind of, you know, that striker's streetwise know-how.
Yeah, he looks strong as well, which shouldn't be underestimated, because I wouldn't say any of our strikers are particularly strong. Vardy's not weak, but he doesn't have that real strength, other than just won't give up and will wind people up. But yeah, Cannon looks like he's got some strength there, which is another bonus.
Yeah, no, I'll be...
There were quotes from Enzo saying he watched every game he played at Preston, which is quite interesting.
Okay, so yeah.
So I don't know whether that was, you know, when the club talked about whether they wanted to sign him, he went and watched every game, or whether he spotted him. But I think it's hard to say whether Enzo wanted him or not, but it doesn't all seem like we've picked up some decent players this year from out of nowhere. I mean, Fatuu, Mavadidi, Cannon, like, we've not paid huge amounts of money by Championship standards, we have, but not by, you know, the money we've spent previously. But they all look like players that are young and can improve, and it's just really exciting, I think.
Yeah, no, so I'm genuinely really intrigued now that battle between Cannon and Daka throughout the course of the rest of the season, genuinely. Right, Jack, other performances and players to pick out yesterday: Ricardo, Mavadidi, Justin Doyle making his return. Which way do you want to take us next?
I think we haven't really talked about Mavadidi a lot, I don't think, mainly because we talk about Fatuu so much, because I'm slightly obsessed with him. But in a weird way, he's now our top goal scorer, Mavadidi. I mean, scored a 25-yard scuffer again yesterday. But I think he's genuinely come into his own in the Christmas period. And he might be a bit... I don't know whether he is underappreciated by Leicester fans or whether we've just read the mood wrong, because I think he's sold more shirts than anyone else. So the fans clearly love him. He does look the business now. I think early in the season, that West Brom game, we talked about it, he got a little bit of stick. But he's definitely... I don't know whether he's not cutting back as much. He's just, you know, he's just been a bit more of a threat. I mean, I love the fact that regardless of where he gets the ball on the pitch, he always does two step overs just for shits and gigs. But yeah, he looks the part now, doesn't he? And I think if we do go up, he's definitely a player, I think, that could be a threat at that level. And it seems, I think, because he scored against Birmingham and went and sat in the crowd, I think I'm seeing a few more comments about him on Twitter, and, you know, clubs in the Premier League being like, I'd love to sign him. So he's become probably, alongside KDH, as our talisman now, I think. But yeah, he's been brilliant, and I thought he was good again yesterday. Got another goal, so his output's right up there now. So yeah, very good.
Yeah, I mean, I think on the wingers, I'm thinking about this, that, you know, if you look at the guys who kind of really dominated those positions for us over recent years, if you got, say, for instance, Harvey Barnes. Now, this is no criticism of Harvey, because, you know, he's obviously an outstanding player. You know, you don't score that many goals in the Premier League unless you are. But obviously, Harvey didn't really take on people, or certainly towards the end. You know, he was good when he was ahead of the defender, but wasn't so good when he was one-on-one in terms of going past him. And then with Mark Albright, and it was completely different that, you know, as soon as he gets the ball, his first thought is get the ball into the box, as opposed to obviously to going around fullbacks, which he's obviously never really done. But in Fatuu and particularly Mavadidi loves to be one-on-one, doesn't he? And think, right, what trick am I going to do to go past him? So I think it's almost that excitement, Jack, of, you know, for the first time in a long, long time, having wingers with the genuine ability to go past someone. I say that's not saying that they're better than Albright or
Mahrez,
is it? Yeah, we're not saying they're better than Barnes or Albright or Mahrez or whatever, but it's exciting to watch that kind of wing. Like, so when you know Mavadidi's on the edge of the box, you're thinking he's going to do a trick and either get in a cross or have a go, and it's exciting to watch.
Yeah, and the bit I like about them as well is I think Mavadidi could shoot more, and he's definitely started doing that. But if you remember when Demarai Gray played for us, it was always like he does one thing. I think both of them, you know, they go either way. Like Fatuu regularly crosses off his right foot, Mavadidi regularly crosses off his left foot, and they're very unpredictable. And the other thing as well is both their touches are exceptional. The amount of times they get pinged a 40, 50-yard ball in tight spaces, their touch is never off. apart from Fatu, who was in the first 20, 30 minutes yesterday. But yeah, they're just technically, they're both very good. And I think Mavadidi's probably, he's slightly further ahead than Fatu. But yeah, he looks a serious player. And like you said, I don't remember a time watching Leicester in my lifetime where we've always had like one good winger, but we've got two good wingers now. And I think that makes such a difference, just because your threat doesn't go down one side, that either side we've got a threat, which makes such a big difference. And you know, we need to be effective, we need to have good wingers in this system, because it does rely on, you know, getting the ball out there and going 1v1, as you say.
George, just quickly on the wingers, there was a cameo, or a rare cameo, from All Brighton yesterday, and I enjoyed it. And you know, he got plenty of the ball. Now, don't get me wrong, I know the game was very much safe by the time he's come on and it's opened up a little bit, but I thought it was just a little gentle reminder of what he can offer. You know, every time he got the ball, he wasn't just kind of aimlessly, you know, putting the ball in. He was picking people out. And yeah, just for me, it was like, yeah, we know. Yeah, Mavadidi, Fatu, they're the guys. But maybe, you know, Albrighton's got a bit more of a role to play. And I'd imagine he'll probably get a start of the weekend against Millwall. I certainly like him to anyway.
Yeah, I'd start him. I don't know what's going on at Jack's house. It sounds like...
Oh, can you hear that? Sorry.
Are you watching Formula One?
No, I don't know what Monique's doing. Like, she's got the blender out.
I thought it was
something.
Jordan.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know you could hear that. But
it sounded like a chainsaw.
No, I don't know what she's doing. 9:05, she's got the blender out.
House of Horrors or something. I'd start him. I'd start him on Saturday.
He's always become a forgotten man, hasn't he? And it's all, you know, and I still think that, you know, with Vardy, he's 37, but I think with Albrighton, it's a little bit of a different story. I think he's got, you know, a little bit more to offer. And as I said, not to start, you know, ahead of those guys, but I just think he's got, a little bit more to offer.
There's a lot to be said for Sharkey, because, you know, when you look back over the last 10 years, obviously Vardy gets the plaudits and
yeah,
King,
exactly.
And Riyad speaks for himself, but
he should be up there, shouldn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he scored the first goal in the Champions League against Bruges. He scored that wonderful goal against Sevilla at home, which is possibly my favourite ever Leicester goal.
Yeah, same.
Maybe Rick should have done that celebration on the live night as well.
Also, don't forget, he's against Red in the home leg. He scored, didn't he, and got the assist for Ian Acho as well to put us 2-0 up and get us through.
His crossing really is wonderful. He's like a right-footed Steve Guppy. But, you know, the game's moved on so much that players like that don't really get the accolades that they probably deserve. And, you know, he'd probably do a job for 20 of the sides that are in the division. And the sides that I'm excluding are probably the top four. And, you know, he could still do a job for us. But, I mean, starting every week, he could probably do a job for most of the sides in the league. So, like you say, he's a bit of a forgotten man. And it's just funny because, like, I mean, Jack was bang on with those two wingers. They're absolute mavericks. Fatu and Mavadidi, and when you compare them to Sharkey, it just shows you how far the game's changed in such a short space of time. But I'd start Mark on Saturday. I'd like to see him get a few more minutes if possible, because again, you don't know how long he's going to be here, and he's done everything for us, so he deserves a good send off when the time comes for him to go.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. We'll do who are you in a couple of moments. Rick, I know you're in charge of that, so I can see Jack in the corner of my eye. I think telling the missus to stop whatever she's doing while she's on mute. But Rick, anything else to pick up before we do that?
Only thing I would say on last night's performance, or it wasn't last night, was it yesterday afternoon's performance? Everyone's very positive about it all, and as we should be, because we're flying, but we do struggle dealing with set pieces. You know, the majority of our goals that we're conceding now, and this is nitpicking, but we're like literally the only goals we concede are either a fluke or a long range worldie, and then very basic set pieces. And it is a bit frustrating. And set pieces is something that, you know, if we do go up, if and when we go up, we've got to get better at it. It was our nemesis under Rodgers. And he lied about us having a set piece coach, and then we did go and get one He's then been got rid of, even though he wasn't, you know, didn't go with Rodgers or anything. Enzo's come in, and maybe that decision was made because Enzo was coming in. But at the minute, we're not dealing with set pieces well. We're not a small team anymore. I think we've got enough height in there. So I don't know what's going on there, but it is something that we need to improve on. If Enzo and his coaching staff can't do it, go and get someone in who can. Don't be, you know, don't be too proud to go and do that, because fine margins back in the Premier League, and we don't want to be shipping. Yeah, we've barely shipped any goals all season, but if a majority of those are set pieces, we will ship more next season. If we still ship the same, if not more, at set pieces, that could be the difference between, you know, where we want to go next season. So, yeah, only other thing to add really on that. It hurt me because we were 3-0 up and cruising. They get that. They nearly get another. Then Hermansen has to make another two or three good saves. I mean, you look at the stats, they had 12 shots in the end out of nowhere. They've done nothing. Yeah. Now, okay, the game was home and hosed. It happens. I'm not going to slag us off too much about that. But, you know, it was a little bit like, wow, where's this come from? And just, yeah, we need, that's where we perhaps, it's still a work in progress course, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I say, it was comfortable. It was, but you are right that Hermansen was actually, you know, forced into making a couple of, you know, smart stops. You know, he was kept on his toes, weren't he? And, you know, at 3-1, I think they had a chance. You know, he ended up going for it for a corner, and you heard the 8 Huddersfield fans, you know, kind of get a little bit excited, like they thought they might be back in the game. But anyway, Rick, have you done your clues? Are you ready for a who are you?
Yeah, I might flip between me freezing because I go to look at them. But yeah, I'm ready. I've chosen who it is. I wanted to try and mix it up a bit. With a few of my clues. So that's why I've been beavering away trying to come up with something.
Right. Well, come on then. Let's play the music.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn questions. Who are you?
Wait a minute. Who are you?
Right, so all previous scores wiped, starting afresh, 2024. It's an opportunity for me or Jack to... Oh, sorry, Jordan is here. To try and get off the mark. I mean, I don't know what the score is anymore. I mean, we could say starting from now, couldn't we, to make it more interesting?
I'll be no. better.
Happy to.
No. Just say you won't... Office, come on.
Are you going to be better though, Jordan?
No, probably not.
No,
yeah, I'm lacking match practice as well.
I was going to say you haven't spent the last 4 weeks researching. Is that not what you've been doing? Really yeah, exactly. He's going to come back and win every game, and then we'll know your secret. Come on then, Rick. Some rogue clues for the first who are of 2024. Let's hear them.
Right. So first clue. Now this could be very easy if you are a stato, but if not, it could not be. So people keep going on about New Year's Day and when the last time teams have won or blah blah. And actually, researching this, we haven't played that much on New Year's Day in the last 20, 30 years. Usually it's, you know, second, third, whatever. But first clue, who scored the goal on New Year's Day in 1996, we drew 1-1 with Millwall.
Not a clue.
Lee Philpott.
No.
Neil Lewis.
No.
I haven't even got a guess.
Okay. Second clue then. He joined Leicester in the summer of 1995. And he went on to play for two other British clubs, English clubs.
Steve Corica.
Correct.
Yes! Come on!
For fuck's sake.
Well, I made that second clue a bit too easy. I should have... yeah. Well done. That was shit. I've spent all that time researching.
Yeah, you did. It's the one bad thing about this game. I think we are at the stage where, because we can't make the clues any harder, that we're going to have to...
Anyway, it's got to make them easier.
Well, maybe, but I think we now need a buffer. Don't like
a new game.
Don't like on a on the undercard of a big one, and then all the fights on the undercard get all knocked out in the first round. They need to bring out a couple of, you know, random blokes just to kill some time before the headline act, because they weren't thinking it was going to be on until 10 p.m. That's what we need. We need some backup ones.
Saying that because I won.
Let's put it out there then to our listeners.
Spent an entire 20 minutes trying to find.
Yeah. I spent most of that time looking back through the seasons when we've played on New Year's Day. And literally, we've played like three times in 20 years.
I swear we've played twice on New Year's Day, haven't we?
Yeah, but I weren't going to use that, was I? So I've then been going back since then. And it's like we played under Sven maybe on New Year's Day. But other than that, it was like every 5 years, the last 20 years.
I think it's quite good to play on New Year's Day, just as an aside, because first few days of the year are always crap. So it's nice to actually have some football to look forward to.
Yeah, I quite like a New Year's Eve game.
Yeah.
Oh, West Ham, we beat them 1-0, didn't we? Slimani, I remember that. That was about the last one.
Was that New Year's Eve, was it?
Yeah, New Year's Eve.
Absolute arrow across from Sharky.
Yeah, from Sharky, weren't it? Yeah.
So, yeah. Who are you done? You haven't got any backups, have you, Rick?
You've got another clue, have you?
For your stand-up set, you've got another 10 minutes to kill.
What, shall I do another one then?
Yeah, off the top of your head.
Shall I? Okay. let me think.
Let him do one off the top of his head. Get the clues wrong. And then LCFC tweet him.
But Jordan gets it right, but then it doesn't count.
Yeah. I actually can't think of one. Why don't we ask our listeners to give us some suggestions on new games? The wildest one that we like, we could give it a trial run and see.
You like name the 11. Of like certain games, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Ten players, but like you have to name a final player or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, not the full 11, just a couple of rogue ones, maybe.
Yeah.
That's a good. Yeah.
I'm going to already be terrible at that because I remember there was a quiz question.
You didn't know who played yesterday.
Should we troll it now? Let me pick one now randomly. You've got to do it, on, yeah?
Why right. not?
Hang on then.
Schmeichel, Simpson, who? Fucking Fuchs.
Yeah, it was a pub quiz question. What was the England starting 11 against Croatia in the World Cup semi-final? And I couldn't remember it. I was at the game. Still couldn't fucking remember it.
That's because you're in the concourse, mate.
You would have remembered what pint you had at half time. How you got to the game and where you stayed.
Just there picking up your caps, mate, so you can tell
what number cap it was. For
No caps in tournaments.
Is it not?
No. That's your reward for sitting through that shit at Wembley for 2 years to get there.
Right, Rick, have you got something? I like this because when he disappears, he
just has a little grinning face.
And so it's the various paused faces of Rick, and he's just sat there a little bit smug, but static. My search is for a team.
Right then.
Here he is.
Come on then, right. We're going back to 2018-19.
How many players have you got to pick?
You got to name all 11.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, come on.
Can you not give us a couple?
I'll give you three. You've got to get the other eight.
All right.
Okay. We beat them 2-0 away from home. I think Vardy got a penno and Maguire scored.
And he's frozen.
Yeah, he's frozen again. So, I mean, are you not supposed to give us the...
Penno and Maguire scored. Now, what game is this?
Oh, so did you not get given the game? Is that not?
Well, no, I think he does. I think he's just frozen.
Is that not away at Southampton, Rick?
No, that's not Southampton, is it?
Because Maguire scored in Man United. Yeah,
that against Southampton when we won 2-1, that was Gray and Maguire in the last minute.
I'm just trying to think of games Maguire scored. He scored against United as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
It
was Claude Puel. We beat him 2-0 away. So you've got Maguire and Vardy, and the other one, Schmeichel, was in goal. Name the rest.
Newcastle, isn't it?
Newcastle.
Okay.
You didn't say the game because you were frozen.
I've said Newcastle.
Do I get a point for guessing the game, given that
I said Newcastle about five times?
Yeah, but you were frozen, mate.
So you can't hear me when I'm frozen?
No.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I thought because in the past when if I'm not on the mic, you can still hear me when I go off.
Ricardo Pereira.
Yeah.
Morgan.
Yeah.
Chilwell.
Yeah.
Drink water.
They left by then.
George. No.
Of course. Of course.
Barnes.
No, he will have been at, he would have still been at West Brom. Mahrez, no, he'd gone.
Ibora.
No, but good shout, he came on.
Adrian Silva.
No.
Oh, fucking hell. Who are we playing in the midfield then? Matty James?
No.
Amati?
Yeah, he played at right back.
What, Amati?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tielemans?
No, hadn't joined us yet.
Kingy?
No.
Who are we playing in midfield
there? Don't know how well this is going. Could be a, could be an hard list than this.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think we just need a couple of
Gazelle?
No.
A couple of names.
You're so still missing a left winger, you're still missing the two central midfielders, you're still missing the two right strikers.
Right wing.
Ojoa.
Okazaki.
No. No.
Dean Ammons.
No.
How have we not got the two central midfielders?
Chowdhury. Comes to Chowdhury.
No.
This is embarrassing, this from us.
Well, this is weird.
How can you get Steve Corica but not know who played in midfield in 2019 against Newcastle? Well,
you're still missing... Eh?
Gray.
Yeah, you're missing two central midfielders and you're missing the left winger and the 10.
Madison.
Yeah, even though he didn't play at 10 in this game.
So he was on the left wing.
Left wing.
He was on the left.
So we still need the 10.
So he's playing as the 10. Oh, Christ.
Schlupp.
No, it got
fucking hell, Jordan.
Who's the midfielder? Is that so? We've Ibora, Silva. Mendy.
Come on, think
Mendy.
About a Claude Puel. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Who else? The dream team, the duo.
We said Indeed. Chowdhury. Indeed.
Hey? Ndidi, yeah. So now you're missing the 10.
Albrighton?
No.
Albrighton did play in the 10 for him at one point against Man.
He did, didn't he? Yeah.
Bartosz Kuzmicka.
No, but that's a shout.
I knew it wasn't. But I, just
I mean, that. You could arguably say he's playing up front, but this formation. Cal, yeah. Yeah, done. Yeah. There you go.
No, I think that there is legs in this game, despite how bad that was. But what I would suggest is that we just have to find maybe a few players, and you have to give clues on them, and the players are the deliberately rogue ones.
Yeah, okay, good one. Yeah.
Then 8 out of the 11 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll trial it until we land on something that's good.
One guess per round or whatever, because that was just a bit of scattergun, wasn't it?
Carnage.
Don't do a spreadsheet on that one, Steve, please.
Potter's going to be all over the place with this. He's going to have a nervous breakdown, bless it.
I don't think we need Steve to do a spreadsheet.
No, but equally, I know we actually have got one. Yeah, you did. George still didn't get one.
What are you like at ball? What are you like at ball games and stuff? And like general.
Well, one of my New Year's resolution, mate, is to get good at chess.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah.
Why not risk?
I do enjoy risk, but we play risk most Christmases, and I think last Christmas it got postponed overnight, and we had to resume it the next day.
That's a proper game of risk. That is.
It's a proper board game. It's better than Monopoly.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
Right, and I know we have put it out there before, but any suggestions for games, by all means, do get in touch. I'm worried talking of maybe we've Kel has kind of come to the end. I mean, maybe Huaya has as well. Who knows? Who knows?
New year, new game.
When Kel goes, Huaya goes.
Exactly. They come hand in hand. Right, let's talk about Millwall and any other bits and pieces. We've already topped the hour mark for today's episode, flown through as usual. Jordan, I obviously saw you before the game at the weekend, and you kindly informed me I had a ticket for Millwall, which I'd completely forgotten about. So looking forward to the game at the weekend. It is actually the first time, despite the fact actually I've lived relatively close to Millwall for a good few years now. I'll hold my hands up. I've always avoided going, like Ben Chilwell taking the throw in, because I just didn't quite fancy it. But I am actually now going for the first time to Millwall. But looking forward to it. And I know I kind of probably say similar things for all cup games these days, particularly when we are winning, but an opportunity to rotate and to see some new faces. I'm not quite sure of the situation with the likes of, you know, the guys going to the Asia Cup and AFCON, you know, how many, if any, are going to be available. So I'll kind of refrain from mentioning those guys. But yeah, it would be good to see again some new players come in. And yeah, and it will be interesting to see how seriously we take this cup. But it is always a little bit difficult, isn't it? Because the reality is that we're not going to win it. And it's almost like, as I said, you know, I don't want to disrespect the cup because I do genuinely love it. But, you know, when we got Liverpool in the Carabao Cup, it felt a little bit like, oh, you know, fuck it. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to be disrespectful towards the cup, but yeah, I kind of do question, you know, what Enzo's thoughts are, honestly and truly, about it this year.
Yeah, it's a bit of a sad indictment of the cup, really, isn't it? Because the third round...
I think for Championship clubs, you know, I think the reality is it is, isn't it? It's difficult.
Well, that's the thing, though. The cup was, I mean, Championship, not lower league as such, but that's what it was for, wasn't it? It was to have your day in the sun and in the lower leagues and try and beat a team above you in the pyramid. And then you get a team that you're playing in the league. I mean, Millwall are just mid-table, not really threatening playoffs and won't go down. So they'll probably be up for it. But at the same time, they'll make changes. But when they got the draw, they'll probably like, oh, for fuck's sake, they're winning every game. It's just until like the round five, it doesn't really get going again, does it? I mean, you've got to rotate, you've got to try and win because winning breeds winning and all that. And you don't want your momentum to stall. Cliche, it's a really difficult place to go. I think, did we play there last year in the League Cup? Was that last year?
That's 2 years ago, I think. Yeah. 2 seasons ago. But we probably only a year and a half ago, weirdly, because of that.
We always seem to get them in the Cup these days. I remember that, the Chilwell throwing one. it's probably that I missed the last train to the game and all the lads had got there. And I was walking through fucking Millwall on my own. I didn't have any colours on, but I got
it's
in.
Not like that. You.
Yeah, I've got I've my stony on, mate. got in the ground at about 1:30. And we were champions at the time. So I was fuming because I found it hugely embarrassing losing to a League One team. But we did have Atletico Madrid like 2 days later. So that softened the blow a little bit. But yeah, I expect us to change the team and win. I couldn't tell you who's playing because, I mean, half the squad, you know, you might have a few kids in there. Because no doubt Pratt will still be injured. Obviously, Wilf's injured. We'd probably play Hamza instead of Ricky.
Mm.
Doyle will probably start. Cannon will probably start again. Rest Winks. Yeah. It's just pretty dull, pretty boring, isn't it? It's pretty dull. Like third round of the cup, so great.
but we'll be there anyway. Rick, not only do you think we'll win at the weekend, do you think we can go on and win the whole thing?
Well, there's no reason why we can't, or at least get to the last four. Well, did Burnley get to the semis last year or got done in the quarterfinals against Man City? So there's no reason why we couldn't get to the latter stages. Again, it all depends on the draw, but we can. And we're so far ahead that I want us to rotate at the weekend purely because of AFCON, and I am sort of precarious around KDH, Winks, whilst Ndidi's out, a few of our other important players. But if you get through Saturday, and then the fourth round is due to be when we play Swansea at home, but depending on who we get, if we got through... Yeah, again, I'd want to rotate. But if we did get to sort of fifth, sixth round and everyone's back from AFCON, and why can't we go for it? And again, the games probably aren't... Yeah, the games will be piling up, but we've navigated already a number of games and he rotates where he needs to or he just keeps going. So I would be happy for us to go for it, but... I think he will heavily rotate. He, as you say, rotated against Liverpool away. He made about 8 changes for that from our starting 11. I would hope Winks gets a rest because he's pretty much played every game he's been available, both in the cup and the league. Mm. So yeah, Hamza comes in probably for him or push Ricky there and Hamza goes somewhere else. But you got to see a couple of academy players, I would have thought, play 1 year. I'd probably give a game now he's signed his contract, give Mavadidi a rest. Didn't like the way that Millwall treated Fatawu the other week. Tried to side him down a few times. I'd probably give him a breather as well. Probably give either Albrighton a swan song or Eunice, perhaps put him out there. I know he's not blessed with pace, but that's supposedly his best position. And I'd perhaps like to see Ben Nelson, but I think we'll probably stick with a similar defence, but perhaps Doyle will come in, which he'll be good to see. Although I did see when Doyle larrups that ball yesterday for that shot, he was wincing afterwards. So I hope he's not tweaked his knee again.
Yeah, no, I winced as well when he did it, thinking it's a bit brave after the knee injury to be going into that one. But you know, I like a Doyle, Suter, Cody, Hamza kind of back four. That worked for me.
Suter won't be there. He's gone, unfortunately. But mate, what about Ben Nelson in there? Stick net. What about that's a back four?
That's a baptism, isn't it? Away at Millwall.
Doyle, Nelson, Cody, Hamza. I like it.
Jack Ewers.
Then if Hamza. okay. Put Hamza there. Put Hamza central then. Ricky.
Ricardo.
Yeah, because he had a rest, didn't he? Well, he had a rest against Cardiff, didn't he?
He was very brilliant against Huddersfield.
He could have had a hat trick, couldn't he, Ricky? That header was easier than the one he scored, and then that pullback was on a plate for him to bury. But yeah, he's been him and Justin, I think, of both. They're showing they're a class above, and it's actually scandalous that we still own both of them. Level.
Jack, you are similarly filled with cup fever as me and Jordan, but in all seriousness, I'm not finding a kind of a positive within there, but if we are to beat Millwall, I would actually really love us to get a home tie against a Premier League team just to kind of see where we're at.
Home to Forest in the fourth round.
A home game against a Premier League team. Do you know what? I'd actually really like that. To get a real indicator of maybe where we're at right now.
Well, the bit that annoys me is every cup game we've had has been away. It feels like we've played away for most of the season because of that as well. But I don't want to do down the competition which gave us so much joy the other year. But it does feel a bit like one of those, because we're playing a side that we played a few weeks ago, it's not a great draw for either of us, but I mean, it's another game that we want to win, I'm sure. I'm probably personally more thinking about, you know, getting players fit for Coventry and Ipswich, because I think they're two big games after that. Probably not the best thing for a football related pod, but I'm a bit like, it's all right.
Yeah, but I think the you know, for people thinking, oh, you know, being negative about it, I mean, we are still going. Do you know what I mean? So it's not like we're thinking, oh, that's what a load of time, waste of time.
Leave early. Why don't you leave early, just so you can show your disdain for the competition?
People did leave early yesterday, and I wondered why that was, but I don't know. It's
Do they not keep you in Millwall like they do like a European away game? Exactly. So you can't
They do.
Early. So they're going to pen us in.
I've got a good Millwall away story, actually.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so I actually went on a first date with my wife, Elizabeth, to Millwall away.
Of course you did.
Yeah, I know. So cop some of this, right? So she'd never, ever been a football game before. We're both from Leicestershire, but she'd moved to London. But we briefly worked together.
How did you meet your wife, Rick?
So we both had part-time jobs at the Sketchley Grange Hotel in Burbage. that was a job on the side of my main job at the time. And she was working there. And then, yeah, we only worked once together, I think, or twice. Then she moved to London. And then, yeah, we met again a couple of times when she come back to Leicestershire, and then I got invited down. I was like, right, what should we do for when I'm coming down? And I was like, oh, we're playing Millwall. And she was like, yes, I've never been to football. Let's go. And I was like, oh, shit, no, we can't do that. I'd never been Millwall away at that point. So I'm like, what, are we going to the Science Museum or something? No, we're going Millwall away. So I had to get tickets. So we went. It was in under Pearson in League One. Steve Howard scored 1-0. And, yeah, she obviously didn't know the etiquette of football or any of that. Got in the ground. Horrible getting through Bermondsey. Bit like George. We got there and got off at the wrong stop, and we ended up like walking a bit. It was horrible getting a taxi. Got to the ground, and I was desperate for a piss, so I said, "Oh, go and get us a beer, and then we'll bollock that, and then we'll go up to a game." Because it was about, I don't know, 3:15. Come out, she's bought us 4 pints each. She thinks it's the rugby, don't she, that you can take them up and sit there and quaff them whilst you sat there. So I was like, what on earth are you doing? She was like, it's all right, we'll have this. That's all right, and it gets through to half time. I said, no, we can't take them up. So she was like, what do you mean? I was like, we've got a bollock all of these now. And she was like, oh, okay, fair enough. So she's opened up the gullet and literally down two of them.
And he married
her. But I'm there in awe, just thinking, I'm there like spluttering. I've done like half a pint, give myself a hernia. And she's bollocked two, put them away. And I'm like, wow, should have known that 13, 14 years later that we'd be married with two children. But yeah, so, and then you're right, they do pen you in, because I knew that, I'd heard about it. So 85 minutes, I thought we'd sneak out.
Mm.
As we were going down there, there was a bit of a flurry of activity, fright at the bar, I think, and we were like, oh. So we finally got down there, and it was just as though shutting the gates, and then we wait there for an hour, and again, desperate for a Jimmy Riddle, but yeah, they're not nice, the Millwall lot, are they, either? They don't like it when you beat them, so no. Yeah, maybe changing 11 players and bowing out might be the best thing for us.
Yeah, no, maybe. I love that, by the way. And I knew for a fact that she'd be able to net them pints better than you.
Better drinking than you, I hear.
Oh, 100%. I'm a disgrace.
You're very good at getting pissed. Like, you know,
The Julian Joachim of drinkers, like the pace from off the cuff. As soon as I get in there.
It's actually the turn of pace. It's just the slight acceleration you can do. Yeah.
Over 5 yards, it's remarkable. Yeah.
It'd be no good in a test match, put it that way.
No, mate. I'm all for the big bash, 2020 bash. Right, excuse the pun, Mad Dog 2020.
Enjoyed that, very good. I think we're at any other business stage. Anything people want to add? Have we got any other stories about meeting our wives at Millwall? Or similar? I mean,
Jordan must have a portfolio of any other business. Come on.
It's usually involving him using formerly an ex of a Forest fan or a Coventry fan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
I've got none of them.
I've got a story about a football match that I shouldn't have been at that I'm probably best not telling on the podcast, but that might be one for a few beers, Rick. I'll tell you that.
Looking forward to it.
No other business really, other than we haven't mentioned Yunus and Cass. And I thought they did all right yesterday. And again, I feel like Cass today has become a bit of a scapegoat.
Yeah.
And Yunus, again, he's been injured in and out of the team. And it's been Yunus.
Is it like Galatasaray?
Yes.
That's his name, isn't it? What do you call
it? He loves that so much. What do you call it?
I don't know. I've never heard him pronounced as Yunus.
Galatasaray.
when I went to Istanbul, actually, we were in Galata, and I was quite happy. I thought, yeah, it's definitely true. I thought they did all right. I'm sure at some point they'll have a part to play. I really want to see Yunus get a goal. Cass has obviously got a couple, but yeah, I feel like they've just become a bit of a scapegoat. Away at Ipswich when they came on. I think Cass made a good block as well.
I think he did okay when he came on against Ipswich. Yeah,
that's what I mean. I think they've both done okay. And I do feel like in general, I'm not a big fan of Kel, but the way that football is these days, with Twitter and that, and people who play FIFA and FM and whatever, it's like if you give the ball away, you shit. Do you know what I mean? Everything's so clinical all the time, and I feel like they've been a bit harshly treated, and the same with Dakar.
I mean, on Caste is an interesting one, George. So I do agree he has become a scapegoat to the point that I'm going to say every time, but you know, say for instance, if he does, you know, make the wrong decision with the ball, or if he does give it away, there is a murmur in the ground, you know, which obviously isn't the same reaction when somebody else gives the ball away. So, you know, everyone is clearly of the same kind of opinion. I'm not saying necessarily everyone, but you know what I mean. You know, the ground swell, and it is difficult because, particularly in the first half yesterday, it regularly did break down with him in terms of his decision making with the ball. He kept giving away foul after foul, and it just felt that, you know, for someone that has to be that link between the two, and you know, I often talk about, you know, what you know, a midfielder may play in the same position as another midfielder, but their strengths may be completely different. Say, for instance, your Dewsbury Halls and Cassidy, they're two very different midfielders, even though they're playing in the same position. And for me, Cassidy is the link man, he's the technical footballer, you know, and passing should be his strength, but it's the one thing that, or not one thing, but it's one of the things that isn't, it's just not up to scratch at the moment. And, you know, the reality is that he's a 19-year-old kid. And he's coming in and out of a team which is obviously playing very, very well at the moment. And he's struggling to find rhythm and just get up to speed with everything. And, you know, playing senior football, you know, it's a big step up for him. And he's clearly a very talented lad. But, you know, as I've said previously, I just don't think it's going to happen for him. And, you know, I do think there were signs in a couple of the games to think, okay, maybe he is finding his form. And I was really pleased he got that start. And look, you know, again, he did okay. He's by no means a liability. But, you know, he is an obvious drop down on those other players in their midfield positions at the moment.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. Like you say, you know, he's only a kid. I don't know how good his English is. Don't know where he's living. You know, he's on loan from Chelsea.
Probably
waiting for that.
You know, he's coming into a team that have set the league alight. It's just, it's not easy.
No, it's not. It's really not.
I have a theory on Cassidy. I think he's going to be like Kane when he was on loan for, yeah, for us. It won't quite work.
Going to win the Ballon d'Or next year.
I think he'll be a really good player. For some reason, it's not quite working here.
And he's got all the attributes, hasn't he?
Like, lack of pace is a concern for me.
Every time I see him walk on the pitch, I'm like, I like the look of him. He's a big lad, isn't he? Yeah. And you know, he does cover ground reasonably well, but there's just something about his play that's not quite working. But honestly, I reckon he'll go to Chelsea and he'll score against us every year when we're back in the Premier League. So boo him at your peril, because Kane doesn't like us because we weren't very nice to him on loan. So
same with Lingard. He's done similar to us over the years as well.
I think he's going to be one of those players. I'm not sure it'll work out here for him. But
he's going to get a run now, though, isn't he? Again, he'll be the one I would have thought that will play with KDH, because I'd never foresee a midfield of Dewsbury Hall and Eunice. I think they're too small as a pairing.
Rick, I think that what we'll see is somebody coming in January.
What, signing? Well, I'd like that, but...
And in that position, because I think Enzo agrees that Cassidy isn't the answer.
Well, he plays him a lot, Jake, for someone that he thinks is not the answer. He always brings him on. He's like his first sub most of the time, so...
But there's just a lack of options in them areas, isn't there?
Well, yeah, maybe.
It'll be interesting. I mean, Cough away and then Ipswich at home are not easy games for him to play. They're obviously after the cup game, but he's got to find form from somewhere. You know, Cannon's come in, took his chance. Dacre came in, took a chance. Cannon's only a year or two older than him. It's hard, but you've got to take your chance. You don't get loads of them. He's had enough. He's not that he's scratching about, like, he has had a few. He was better second half than he was first half, which is the same with Eunice. But again, when the game opens up, they find that easier. It's when low block, and the way he was, he didn't look confident on the ball, I thought. He didn't want it as much. He wouldn't go forward with it. He was always looking to take the easy option, which surprises me for a player that all the higher like Reels and what he did in the under 20 World Cup, he looked good at carrying the ball forward. So something, as Jack says, he's probably got the ability, and we'll see it sadly elsewhere, and probably we'll be the victims of it. But hopefully hopefully he takes his chance, because he's going to get more.
Yeah. Yeah. And as I said, I do genuinely believe there is a player there, and, you know, I hope it happens with us, but, you know, I do have reservations. Any other business from Jack or Rick?
Yeah, I've got two. One, so Footy Fits, who we've done some stuff with previously, are doing something with LAMP, which is obviously a charity we've worked with very closely. So if you buy something from them, they donate 10% towards their work, which is really good. And there's some good stuff there. And the other one is, Jordan, we've not heard how you're getting on your Manscaped journey.
All I'll say, mate, is I'm smooth as the day I was born.
It's very good, isn't it? Very good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't probably admit this on a public forum, but I'm going to shave my legs again tomorrow. Which
are you going to use the butt? Are you going to use the ball sack deodorant on that? That comes with it. Very nice, that.
I use that. I didn't realise your ball sack needed deodorant. But I've shaved my legs for the last couple of years to do with like football and running and cycling and stuff. But it's not for any aerodynamic benefit. It's just I've got dodgy ankles and knees, so I have to just wrap tape all around my legs all the time. It's just a bit easier on the, you know, when you're ripping that tape off on your hair.
Yeah, you don't want that, mate. Like that.
Yeah, no. I was away over the Christmas period, and I also came home to my kit from Manscaped, and they really looked after us, and
looked after us. Yeah,
really good, top stuff.
And and you can look after yourself too using the code BSLB20 to get 20% off.
There we are.
Come on, do it.
Seamlessly done.
We need to sell 8.
Come on. Do we?
Please buy them. Yeah.
All right. Well, please buy one. Use the code.
8 people.
Yes. Think of us whilst you're doing it and let us know how you get on, but don't send pictures. Yeah.
And if you do buy one, then you are within a chance of winning a big, strong Leicester Boys Manscaped 2025 calendar.
Yeah.
And we'll do... for your missus.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd love to know what audience that would be. But
very niche market, that'll
be. I'll tell Monique, she'll be absolutely thrilled with that, Rick. She really will.
I think the worrying thing is Rick's probably already got the photos ready to go for it.
Yeah,
no, he did that. I've done a few trial runs, Jude.
Right, Rick, have you got anything to add, mate, before we wrap up?
I've not, no. But no. Just really, really enjoyed tonight. Glad that the four of us are back. We are the bollocks. And hope everyone has a good year.
Lovely stuff. All right, well, thank you very much indeed. And as Rick said, you know, the first one of the year, it's great to be back, all four of us together. Enjoyed the pod. Millwall up next. We'll see how much we enjoy that one. But once again, thank you for listening. And we'll be back next week. Network.